And a very good morning to you. How you doing? It's Sunday morning, October 6th, 2019. I'm Richie Allen. But then you knew that, didn't you? Hope you're having a very good weekend. It's a miserable old morning. It is in Greater Manchester, in Salford. It's been bucketing it down. It's not great. Bit grey. But there you are. We're into the autumn, I suppose. This is Sunday View. Going to have a look through the Sunday newspapers, as always, because it's 11 o'clock or thereabouts on Sunday morning. So looking at the front pages of the UK's newspapers, some interesting stories inside those newspapers as well. And I've been watching the early morning talk programmes, Mar, Sophie Ridge and all the rest of it as well. Thanks for joining me. Let's just get on with it then. Sunday View.
Welcome back to the most listened to independent radio show in Europe. It's your Richie Allen Show. It's the Richie Allen Show, broadcasting live on richieallen.co.uk and multiple platforms around the world. And now, here's your host, Richie Allen.
And it's a brilliant time to be in Salford in Greater Manchester, because Salford defeated Wigan in the DW Stadium on Friday night to reach the Grand Final, the Super League Grand Final, for the first time in their history. Fantastic. It's amazing. The final is this Saturday at Old Trafford Football Stadium, and I can't wait for it. I really can't. So congrats to Salford, 28-4 victory over Wigan on Friday evening at the DW Stadium, and they can barely contain their excitement in Salford, I can tell you. Amazing. My pal Tez, who gets the occasional mention, tears of joy, bewilderment, wonderment. Never thought we'd live to see the day. Salford fan. Now, I'm not declaring myself to be that much of a Salford fan. In recent years, I've gone to see some of the games when I can, and I love it. I love rugby league, and I'm looking on, so I am, with great, with great joy myself for Salfordians and their joy at what for them is an amazing occasion. So Saturday against St. Helens at Old Trafford Football Stadium in Manchester, Super League Grand Final. All fingers and toes crossed for Salford. Go on, Salford. Great stuff. Right, how are you then? I asked you already. Are you all right, Jar? I've not had a look at Twitter yet. I've not been on Twitter. I was last night briefly on Twitter. I was looking. Twitter is a good source for me on Saturday evenings to pick up one or two stories of interest. And I did pick up one or two stories of interest on Twitter. So I'm going to jump straight in. I'm just opening Twitter, actually, while I speak to you there. Running a little bit late this morning, just about made it for 11, because I was struggling with editing this morning. No good reason for that, but anyway. Hi to Samantha. How you doing, Samantha? Hi to Cave Hillbilly, who's in sunny North Belfast. Good morning. And good morning to Repose Records, who's listening in Sheffield. That's Tom, by the way. How are you, Tom? Are you well? I'll read a few more of these tweets in a few minutes as well. Right, let's have a look at the front pages then. Right, the Mail on Sunday. Yeah, the Mail on Sunday leads with Meghan's dad, why I shared hurtful letter. Is this of any great interest to you and me? Is it? A little bit. This is the allegations that the Duchess of Sussex and the Duke of Sussex are going to take legal action against the tabloids, in the form of the Mail on Sunday anyway, because they published bits of a letter that was written by her to her father, Thomas Markle. That's it, really. He said he gave an interview to the Mail on Sunday this weekend, and he said he published some of the letters, or gave the Mail some of the letter, because its existence was already out there in the public and had been in a celebrity magazine in America. It's going to be the subject of a court battle now. The Mail has written an editorial today and has defended its right to print the letter, and I'll quote you. The Mail says, anyone who receives public money must expect scrutiny from the media. Hear, hear. Hear, 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 Mail on Sunday. Have to say, I am in total agreement with you. The Observer leads with, Harry claims tabloids hid evidence of illegal activity. Now, this is about phone hacking. The Observer has in its newspaper today details about legal action launched by the Sussexes related to alleged phone hacking. Now, this is not against the Mail on Sunday. This is against the Sun and the Mirror. Okay? So the Sussexes are alleging, well, Harry Sussex is, or Harry Hewitt, is saying that the Sun and the Mirror used phone hacking to target me, Prince Harry, and my friends over many years. And that story is in The Observer, and it's on the front page. Now, the Sunday Times leads with Brexit, which it pretty much does every Sunday, and a couple of sensational headlines, one of them being, "Sack me if you dare, Johnson will tell the Queen." Sack me if you dare. The front of the Sunday Times says Johnson, Boris Johnson, will challenge the Queen to fire him rather than resign in an attempt to get through Brexit on October 31st. How does the Sunday Times know this? Well, again, it's all very murky, hearsay. An aide, that's A-I-D-E, an aide told us this and an aide told us that. It's horse manure, I would say. Senior aides told us, says the Sunday Times, that Boris Johnson is prepared to, wait for it, quote, squat in Downing Street if members of Parliament declare no confidence in his leadership and agree a caretaker Prime Minister to replace him. Lots of talk this morning about governments of national unity in the event that Johnson loses a no-confidence vote and the Queen takes a phone call from Jeremy Corbyn or somebody else. That's in the Sunday Times. Also in the Sunday Times, Boris backed our Curie for £100,000 quango job. These are fresh allegations relating to Boris Johnson's dealings with a US businesswoman whom we know is called or named Jennifer R. Curie when he was the Mayor of London. All very seedy this, all very slimy. The paper, Sunday Times, says we've seen emails showing that Johnson wrote a reference to, wrote a reference for R. Curie when she was applying for a high-flying government quango job. Johnson and R. Curie, yes, they've denied wrongdoing. We've not done nout wrong, says Johnson and R. Curie. But this does have the whiff, this, of something which might run and run and run. The Sunday Telegraph headline is Johnson to sabotage EU if forced to delay Brexit. And again, these are allegations by newspapers based on things they heard in corridors, whispers, and anonymous letters and phone calls, right? Senior ministers have raised the prospect of even Nigel Farage becoming Britain's European Union ambassador in the event of any delay. So this is rubbish, you know. It's the Telegraph saying, we're hearing that Johnson, he would be so cheesed off with the European Union in the event of any delay that he would appoint Nigel Farage as some sort of ambassador to the EU, and that he might also disrupt the European Union's 7-year budget if we don't leave on October 31st. Sunday Express, Boris, MPs do back my Brexit deal. Sunday Express leads with Boris, MPs do back my Brexit deal. The story alleges that Boris Johnson is confident that if the European Union agrees to his new proposals for Northern Ireland and Ireland, that he will get it through the House. No real evidence of that. Sunday Mirror front page is not about Brexit. It's not about Boris Johnson. The headline on the Sunday Mirror is, I will never love again. A poignant interview with the former footballer turned actor Vinnie Jones. Vinnie speaking about the death of his wife Tanya, whom he misses terribly and doesn't imagine that he will be in a relationship in the future. That's in the Sunday Mirror. And the Star on Sunday goes with 100-day storm warning. Now, there you are. Apparently, we should brace ourselves for a 100-day storm. Gale force winds will hit the United Kingdom, and the bad weather might even last for 3 months. One or two of the papers have predicted this morning that we might have snow in October. I do remember Piers Corbyn, the meteorologist, the physicist, telling me on the programme, the Richie Allen radio show, Well, about 10 days or so ago, Piers did say, Richie, I think we'll have snow in October. He did indeed. We're coming up for 10 minutes past the hour. This is the Richie Allen Show Sunday View. Are you well? Are you good? Are you hungover? Are you? It's your own fault. No sympathy for you. But at least you're up, or maybe you're not up. Now, not so much Brexit. You'll be glad to know. I'm going to rush through a little bit of Brexit for 5 minutes, and then we're going to look at very interesting human interest stories this morning. Because I know, I hear you. Ah, you big baldy bollocks, gammon. We're sick of Brexit. Everybody is. A lot of talk this morning again about the Benn Bill. You know, the Benn Bill, the law, which says that Boris Johnson must ask the European Union, in the form of a letter, for an extension if he cannot agree a deal with them within the next 2 weeks. Now, there is no sign at all that the European Union is going to accept the government's latest proposals. No sign at all that the EU is going to say, all right, Boris, yeah, we'll go for that, we'll agree that. It's not going to happen. Johnson has repeatedly stated that we will leave one way or another. I'm going to find you and I'm going to get you, right? He said we're going to leave one way or another and that's it, whether we get a deal or not. But, like I just said, he is compelled legally by the Benn Act to write to Brussels asking for an extension. All sorts of nonsense has been talked, saying that Johnson would write two letters, one saying, please, can we have an extension? And another one saying, please ignore the first letter. There's also been talk that Johnson would ask some of the European Union's most Eurosceptic governments, like the Hungarians, like the Italians, to veto any extension. Do you understand that? Well, in order for the European Union to agree to an extension, in principle, all of the European Union member states must agree. So there's talk that Johnson would say, please give me an extension. And then he would get on the phone to Salvini or somebody like that and say, hey, listen, don't agree with the extension. Right, right, good, good. All right, I'll talk to you later. Right, bye. Right? Bullshit, right? Okay. Johnson has written in two Sunday newspapers today to say, we are leaving in 25 days. We are. We are, I tells you. Meanwhile, the Brexit Secretary, Stephen Barclay, he's been telling the European Union, we're not backing down. He's been channeling his inner Tom Petty. We won't back down, says Stephen Barclay. He was on the Marr show this morning, so he was, with Andrew Marr, who else, who asked him this.
All right, let me read out, for the benefit of everybody watching, because I'm sure you know it, what the Prime Minister said to the Scottish court this week. The Prime Minister accepts that he will send a letter in the form sent out in the schedule of the bill, no later date than the 19th of October. And he's also said that he will not try to frustrate its purpose or the purpose of its provisions. The Prime Minister has said, on the record, in the Scottish courts, he will send the letter. What is the problem for the Brexit Secretary to say, yes, we will send the letter?
There's no problem at all. I said we will comply with the law, and the law as stated, whatever commitments have been given to court. I'm a former lawyer myself. If a commitment is given to the court, you abide by it.
So the letter is going to be sent, we can say.
Yes, we can, Andrew. The letter is going to be sent. Now ask him, what are the other tricks they might have up their sleeves about asking people to veto and all of that?
Because there was another sort of strange wrinkle in all of this, which is my colleague Laura Koonsberg spoke to somebody in Number 10 who said that the government will comply with the Benn Act, which only imposes a very specific narrow duty concerning Parliament's letter. But the government is not prevented by the Act from doing other things which may cause no delay, including other communications, private and public. What does that mean?
Well, again, I think the key focus for me is getting the deal. That is the way.
Good man, Andrew. Ask him again. What does that mean exactly?
That is the way we address the Benn legislation. The Benn legislation enables the UK to leave with a deal, to do so on the 17th of October. That is what I am focused on. That is what the government is focused on. But in order for that to happen, Andrew, we need to now get into the intensive negotiations. And that, because time is very short, that needs to happen in the coming days.
But in terms of a cunning plan being devised in Number 10, your Brexit Secretary, do you know what it is?
Well, we have a cabinet subcommittee. We discuss the various variables that may happen.
So you know what the cunning plan is?
The various variables that may happen. But what we're clear on across the cabinet as a whole, what the Prime Minister is absolutely committed to, is to secure any deal. And it's not so long ago, Andrew. It's not so long ago that you were accusing the government of having a sham negotiation. We weren't serious. We were rushing for a no deal. Now people can see we're absolutely serious on getting a deal.
I'm going to plead with you. I'm not literally going to get down on one knee, but symbolically I'm going to get down on one knee and say, and not that kind of proposal, and say, if you know what the plan is, for goodness sake, tell us.
I do know what the plan is, and the plan is to secure a deal at the Council on the 17th. That is what the entirety of the government is committed to doing. And we stand ready to get into what is referred to the tunnel, get into those intensive negotiations with the EU.
Hmm. So you didn't get anything out of him. We might have a cunning plan to deal with the Benn Act, but I'm not going to tell you, basically. So you'll be happy to know, dear listener, that's it for Brexit this morning, eh? Eh? I know, I'm a man of my word. I'm a man of my word. Good morning to Liz Jones, who had ankle surgery on Friday. Liz, that couldn't have been pleasant. I hope you're okay, kid, and you're recovering well. All the best, Liz, in your recovery. I had knee surgery some years ago, Liz, back when I was about 20. 19, in fact, I was. Had arthroscopic keyhole surgery on the old knee, and I had to wear a cast for quite a while afterwards. Nothing worse than it, but I hope it recovers quickly, Liz. Long-time listener there, Liz. How you doing, Liz? Good morning to Tom, who's in the northwest. Foul weather. Yeah, it's going to be rotten, Tom, today. And thanks for your kind words about the show, Tom. I really appreciate that. Thank you for that. Hi to Man Bear Pig. How you doing, Man Bear Pig? Good morning, Richie. The whole Brexit thing is almost becoming parody at this point, he says. No need to go see the panto this year. Just tune into Brexit politics on the telly. These political actors are all bloody useless, aren't they? You will not get an argument from me, Man Bear Pig. Not at all. Good morning to Charlie. How you doing, Charlie? Thanks for the meme. Good morning to Gail, who says the Harry Meghan crap is just to distract away from Andrew's association with Epstein, and he should be in court to answer questions about it. Andrew should be. Yeah, of course. He's not going to be, though. Don't hold your breath there, Gail. Hi to Susan. Good morning, Susan. If I skipped any, I didn't do it deliberately, by the way. Good morning to These Are the Damned. Good morning. Lovely. Yeah, we're going to talk about Extinction Rebellion in a minute. So we are. Yeah. Because they've been on the telly in the last couple of days, so they have. Yeah. Matthew Phillips says, it's refreshing to get out of the London bubble again yesterday. Travelling country, you meet people, fellow working people who have been at the brunt of the EU deindustrialisation measures. Fishing in Cornwall, heavy industry in Yorkshire. They've done their research, says Matthew Phillips. Yes, Matthew. Yes, you're right. In these areas, in fishing areas, in coastal areas, and in some areas where industry used to thrive and everybody was in work, they damn well do know what the European Union has meant for their prospects. Good man, Matthew. That's a good tweet. I appreciate that. 18 minutes past the hour. Let's move on. This is a nasty bit of business, isn't it? This business of the young boy whose motorbike was hit by a car in which a US diplomat was travelling. And she told the police, I have no plans to go anywhere. And then she left the bloody country. It's not good, this, is it? And the lad's mother is apoplectic, God love her, of course she is. And she's demanding that this diplomat who left the country, having said that she wouldn't, returns to answer questioning. Harry Dunn, God love him, was on a bike when he was whacked by a car near RAF Croughton in Northamptonshire back in August. And this diplomat's wife, who has she does have diplomatic immunity. She does have, because she's married to a diplomat. She left the UK after telling the police that I wouldn't do that. So Harry Dunn's mother, Charlotte, has been telling the BBC, we're devastated by this. Why won't she come back and answer questions? Why indeed? Now, the housing secretary, obviously government, Boris Johnson's front bench housing secretary, Robert Jenrick, was on Sophie Ridge this morning, and Sophie Ridge asked him, quite rightly, what's going to be done about it?
Well, I'm very sorry, and this is a very tragic incident. The foreign secretary has spoken to the American ambassador and made clear our disappointment that the woman involved in this incident has left the UK using diplomatic immunity. Cases of diplomatic immunity do come up from time to time. They are difficult, but the family involved have our absolute assurance that we're going to do everything we can to resolve this. We want the police to be able to continue their inquiries and for whatever actions they deem fit to be able to take place and for justice to be done.
You say that cases of diplomatic immunity come up, but, I mean, this is a death. It's not, you know, a few avoided speeding tickets. It's pretty serious.
This is
couldn't be more serious.
No, quite. This is a very serious situation. My heart goes out to this family who now want answers and want justice. What I can say is that the local MP, who is Andrea Leadsom, the business secretary, has met the family. The foreign secretary has offered to meet the family and will do so shortly. And he couldn't have been clearer when he spoke to the American ambassador that we are very disappointed by the way events have turned out and we want to see the US change their mind and this lady come back to the UK to answer the questions that she needs to.
Yeah, screw this, we're very disappointed. Get the bitch on a plane and get her over here now. There's a very serious laws against doing that. Not only in the UK, but in Europe, in the United States. This fucker told the police she wasn't going anywhere and then hopped it on a plane. Get her back here, answering questions. She's obviously at fault for the crash that killed the kid. And maybe there was other things going on, maybe. You know? Mitigation. Maybe there was other things going on. Yeah. Anyway. It's 21 minutes past the hour. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to do this. Then I'm going to come back and we're going to talk about Ant and Dec. I know. Don't panic. Ant and Dec. When we come back.
Renowned healer Mark Bajerski travels the world to find the most unique and powerful crystals for self-healing. Since the ancient times, crystals have been used as healing tools. They hold a natural healing vibration and are highly charged in positive energy. Mark teaches how to channel the universal energy and transfer it to the crystal to activate its healing power. Each crystal is used for its unique ability to target a different physical or emotional challenge. Mark Bajerski is an author, healer, speaker, and founder of the Pure Energy Healing Academy. He shares powerful messages of inspiration and healing on his daily YouTube videos, reaching millions worldwide. Mark's crystals, healing oils, and incense sticks are most sought after by other healers. His collection is available online at www.markbajerski.com. His work is presented through Lemon House, a company that creates and curates consciously made gifts.
Richie Allen.
Right, welcome back to the programme. Liz broke her ankle 11 years ago and had a screw loose in there, so had the metalwork taken out and was looked after well in hospital. The old morphine is wearing off, so she's a bit sore, she says, but her son and his girlfriend are looking after Liz there. Liz Bacardi. Bacardi, Liz. Lots of Bacardi. A treble. Give yourself a treble with a little splash of Coke, Liz. Two or three of them after lunch and you'll be knocked right out. That's my prescription for any pain anyway. Lovely to be with you this Sunday morning, by the way. Thanks for tuning into Sunday View. Now, Britain's Got Talent. I've no time for any of that. Maybe I'm just a grumpy old fecker who loves to moan about everything. Maybe I am, maybe. But I've no interest in it. I couldn't give a shite, to be honest. And I'll tell you why. I wouldn't mind if it was just a talent show and some guy came on and he could walk on his fingers, on his thumb and forefinger. I wouldn't mind if a dog came on and did 360 degree jumps through hoops. I have no problem with any of that. But it's all of this pathos that they inject into this bullshit now. This is what I can't stand, you know. These little mini documentaries they make about the contestants. You know, before we meet Mary, who can breathe fire, we have to learn that Mary battled cancer 5 years ago and then she buried her mother. I couldn't give a shit. I couldn't give an arse. I've got my own problems. Just jump through the hoop and eat the fire, Mary. Right? And then I might pick up the phone and vote for you. But I don't want to hear all these hard luck stories. I have me own, I tells you. I have me own. Now, anyway. Apparently, I mean, this is, you know, the phrase lunatic asylum, it's one of those that gets overused and becomes a cliche and I bore myself when I say it, so I won't say it today, even though I probably just did. During the final of Britain's Got Talent, which apparently was on last night and which apparently the entire country was glued to, except me and the oft-mentioned future Mrs. A. We weren't watching it. We were listening to music in the company of a friend, playing records loud and jumping around the front room. That's what we were doing, right? Anyway, jumping around the front room. They paused the final of Ant and Dec last night. They paused the final to launch a mental wellness campaign. This is the network ITV, independent television. They paused the final to talk about mental health. And I've banged on about this for a long time with you. This is part of an agenda, not only to convince every single member of the public, the country, all over the country, that we've all got mental health issues, but also to make it cool, to make it kind of chic to have some sort of mental health issue. I know it sounds mad, but it's true. Believe you me, right? Viewers have been taking to Twitter to praise the powerful show. They stopped the thing in the middle of it and said, we're going to say nothing now for 60 seconds so that you can talk to one another at home about your mental health issues. Honest to Christ. Do you want to hear it? When they did it, do you want to hear it? This is Ant and Dec in the middle of the finale of Britain's Got Talent. I kid you not.
So, right now, we're going to try something that's never been done before. It's called Britain Get Talking. And to help Britain get talking, we're going to pause this show to make time for everyone there at home to get together and just talk. So, whatever you need to do, grab the kids, wake Dad up, or just turn and talk to a mate, because we're pausing BGT for a minute so you can talk. In 3, 2, 1.
And they show some of the backroom staff holding up signs telling people to talk to one another during the silence. And then...
We're back. See? Wasn't hard, was it?
Wasn't that hard?
Wow. Right? And Simon Cowell stands up and gives it a standing ovation to encourage people to just talk to their loved ones. They said, did Ant and Dec, there's been a staggering rise in anxiety and depression in young people. In young people. And they paused the final and told the nation, have a chat with one another about your mental health problems. You want to scream sometimes, don't you? You want to scream. And then you think, what's the point? There's no stopping this. This is a boulder that's fallen off a cliff, or it's a big snowball like in the cartoons running down the side of a mountain. There's no stopping this. This is absolutely insane. In the near future, you won't be able to answer that question with no, without exposing yourself to severe suspicion. Suspicion. Say that again, Richie. In the future, you'll be asked about feeling mentally unwell. At various points, you'll be asked by doctors, you'll be asked by employers, you'll be asked by officials, various capacities, about what sort of mental health problems have you had. And you will not be allowed. Well, you will be allowed, but it won't be favourable for you if you say, none, actually. None. No, I'm fine. You'll be perceived with great suspicion if you don't say, I have, actually, yeah. I struggle to cope sometimes. And a box of Smarties will come out. There you are, take one of them. Bingo. So, yeah, I didn't believe this until I heard the clip this morning. Obviously, I don't watch any of this crap TV. So this morning, I'm reading the Mail on Sunday, and they say, yes, mental wellness campaigns being launched by national television stations in the middle of entertainment shows telling you, stop, have a chat with your father, your sister, your brother, your mother, whatever, about mental health. Great, eh? Wow. What could possibly go wrong with that? Also in the Mail on Sunday, which has got some really interesting stuff today, girls are skipping school. Now, this is true. This is not just tabloid crap. This is supported with evidence. I urge you, after the show, go to dailymail.co.uk and you can read it because it's free. Girls are skipping school, so they are, to avoid sharing gender-neutral toilets with boys after being left to feel unsafe and ashamed.
What kind of fuckery is this?
Yeah, girls are skipping school because of gender-neutral toilets. And this is true. Menstruating girls are staying at home because they're embarrassed. Some girls are risking infections because they won't urinate all day long, and they're enabling themselves to avoid urinating by not drinking. So you've got dehydrated girls in classrooms. You've got girls who are menstruating, staying at home and not going to school. And this is backed up by evidence in the article. It's not just one of these horror stories by the right-leaning Daily Mail, or the very right-leaning Daily Mail. Teachers are warning about this, and doctors, because there is a growing number of primary and secondary schools installing unisex toilets. Because of that, girls are not urinating and are not drinking. The trend for single-sex toilets is driven by the wish to be more inclusive of children who identify as trans and who want to use the same facilities as the opposite sex. That's fairly straightforward. You get that, right? I'm Richie, but I identify as a woman. Therefore, I want to use the ladies' toilets at work. No problem, Richie, is the increasingly popular answer to that. Whereas previously it would have been, go to the male toilets, you big dirty bastard. That would have been the standard stock answer. Well, I actually think I'm a woman. I want to use the ladies. Use the men's, you big dirty bastard, you. Would have been the reply. Nowadays, it's no problem. The women will just have to put up with it. That's how it's going, right? Doctors and politicians are coming together with parents to say, stop moving towards unisex toilets, please, because our daughters are pissed off of it. Boom, boom. They just are not drinking water, not drinking juices, not wanting to go to school because of these unisex toilets. So Tessa Katz, who's a doctor who's involved in this, says that holding in urine for prolonged periods could increase the risk of girls suffering from urinary and bladder infections. Tis mad. Also in the Mail on Sunday, celebrities to persuade parents to give their children vaccines because celebrities are more convincing than scientists, according to public health expert John Ashton. That's Professor John Ashton. I've got to put my teeth back in. Yes, let's use celebrities, wouldn't be a bad thing. Let's use them to help encourage those parents who do not want to vaccinate. Footballers, singers, TV presenters should be used to speak of the benefits of vaccination. But footballers, singers and TV presenters, I would argue, are not qualified to talk about vaccines. Isn't that funny, isn't it? Isn't that very unacademic? Isn't that very, very strange? Let's get some celebrities. Let's get Justin Bieber to make videos advising parents that they must vaccinate. Yeah, but Justin doesn't know anything about vaccines. This is where it's all going. And this is because of the move towards mandatory vaccination in this country. You've got professors now saying we probably will have to introduce mandatory vaccination. But before we get there, let's exhaust every other possibility. So the latest one is, let's get famous people talking to children and talking to parents to tell them to hurry up and bloody vaccinate. All right. 26 and a half minutes to the top of the hour. It's time for a musical interlude. And I fancy a bit of Bee Gees, so I do. So here are the Bee Gees, but I've got to get a message to you on Sunday View on the Richie Allen Show. Back with plenty more talk and your tweets after this. Bee Gees, and I've got to get a message to you on Sunday View on the Richie Allen Show. The time is 24 minutes to the top of the hour. Tweets, Bee Gees, there's loads of them. Moinga tweets, Richie doesn't watch BGT because he's a fan of Strictly Come Dancing, says Moinga. I can honestly say I'm not. I don't subscribe. I don't have any interest in... My television consumption is news, documentaries and sport. That's about it. I don't watch any of these reality shows or any of that stuff. John Parsons did watch it, John in Salford, who says he's depressed about the winners, because if that is the creme de la creme, and he leaves that hanging in the air, but he obviously means if that's the creme de la creme of talent, in Britain, we're not in great shape. Turn off the television and your mental health will improve, says These Are the Damned. Yeah, get rid of it. Absolutely. Charlie says, I don't understand why we have gender-neutral toilets. If you're trans, you've chosen a gender, use whichever gender it is. If you're one of the attention-seeking non-binary gender-neutral, then you'll have to pick one or go into disabled. La Antenna says, on the mental health thing, where Britain's Got Talent stopped for a minute so that we could talk to one another about mental health. He tweets, Cowell virtue signals with a standing ovation. Why hasn't any offended proxy identity group rained down a Twitter storm on Cowell yet for triggering sufferers of mental health by calling his company Psycho Entertainment? Interesting. There is a film in the cinemas at the moment. It's called Joker. I'm sure you've heard of it. It's the latest in the Batman franchise, apparently. And Joaquin Phoenix, who's a pretty talented actor, it must be said, plays Joker. I won't watch it. I might see it when it comes out on Blu-ray. Or when it comes on movie. Because it's cheaper that way. I might watch it. There has been genuine calls. This is where this snowflakery is going. This need to protect people from themselves on so many different levels. Vulnerable groups. There have been calls to cut scenes in Joker, because apparently it's very violent. Apparently. And it's causing people in some parts of America to walk out of the cinema, triggered by the orgy of violence on screen. That's where we're going, yeah. Down with that sort of thing. Down with it. And Mwinga did tweet a link to an old article in The Guardian, which is very relevant today, about Karen White. Karen White, by the way, is a man who managed to be moved to a woman's prison because he put a wig on and a bit of lippy. And while in a woman's prison, he raped women there. So Mwinga is saying it's a bad thing to allow men use women's bathrooms because they identify as a woman. It's not great. Man Bear Pig says that he works in the NHS and his trust has been trying to increase staff vaccine uptake for the flu vaccine by offering financial incentives for staff who comply. It's a little known fact, he says, but many vaccines are already mandatory for most NHS workers. Thanks for that. Lovely. Right. Okay. Let's move on and talk about Extinction Rebellion. Because 10 people have been arrested in South London on suspicion of conspiracy to cause a public nuisance. This is ahead of planned protests by Extinction Rebellion around Westminster in central London next week. Or I should say this week, this coming week. The Metropolitan Police said 7 women and 3 men were taken to a South London police station for planning to cause a nuisance. Officers raided a building in Cleaver Street, Kennington, where environmental protesters said they were storing equipment for their protest this coming week. Videos posted on social media showed officers using a battering ram to break down the doors of the now closed Lambeth County Court and removing items, including bikes. At a media briefing earlier this week, Extinction Rebellion said they planned to protest on Lambeth and Westminster bridges and in Trafalgar Square as part of an international rebellion around the world calling for urgent action on climate change. And 2 of these scruffy little bastards were on Sky News this morning with Sophie Ridge, and they have lovely middle class public school names. Savannah Lovelock was on. She's in Extinction Rebellion. Savannah Lovelock and Sarah Lennon, Sarah and Savannah, were on with Sophie Ridge and they were asked, the sweaty, dirty, hairy-legged little cows were asked, what are your plans for next week then? And they didn't answer, presumably. No, they did. Let's try that again. The hairy-legged little women were asked, what are your plans for next week?
So next week, we're actually taking Rebellion to the government and we're actually going to be in Westminster and we're going to be outside government departments. asking, where is their plan? Parliament declared a climate emergency on the 1st of May, and now we need a plan to deal with it. So where's the plan?
You're talking that your focus is going to be around Westminster. A spokesperson told a press conference this week, we're going to blockade and shut down every single road going into Westminster. Now, there's a major hospital, isn't there, on Westminster Bridge? Are you worried about how it could impact patients or families trying to visit, you know, their loved ones?
Good question. Now, there's a major hospital there. You're a bunch of morons. Blocking traffic is maybe not the best idea. Are you worried about it?
Well, I think it's about this understanding of the wider perspective. We have people on the bridges who can have conversations with people who are trying to get there, and there's potential of, you know, if people really, really need to get there, about letting them through, possibly. And that
there's potential. There's possibly potential about if people really need to get to the hospital, letting them through. These people, huh? These people. Ridge said, there's a hospital there. People might need to get there. Will they be able to get there if they need to get there? And her answer?
Perspective. We have people on the bridges who can have conversations with people who are trying to get there. And there's potential of, you know, if people really, really need to get there, about letting them through, possibly.
Imagine that. Imagine these dirty, unwashed, scruffy, hairy-legged little fuckers are telling the nation, we're going to block up a central causeway, a central thoroughfare in the city, and there's a hospital. And if you really need to get there, there is potential for us to have a conversation with you where we can discuss letting you through. Well, what about if I rocked up there and I needed to get through and you didn't stand out of the way? And I knocked you the fuck out, and then the person behind you. Wouldn't I be well within my rights to do that? Wouldn't I? That's what I would have asked if I was Sophie Ridge, but then again, I'm not Sophie Ridge.
Very possibly in that conversation, but it's this wider perspective of, you know, like, what is coming and the risks we have to take and the emergency that is coming.
Oh, the wider perspective is this massive emergency that's coming down the line where we're all going to die. And that's more important than some ambulance getting through a crowd. Now, what's funny here is this crazy bitch, and that's what she is, right? Eventually, as this interview goes on, begins to realise, oh, this is not sounding too good. Have a listen.
It's coming, and that we have to have our voices heard. And we're really, really sorry. We don't want to be doing it, but we're running out of time, and this is what we have to do right now.
Wow.
You can't guarantee, can you, that there won't be disruption, that emergency vehicles, that ambulances might not be able to get to that hospital?
Okay, so there absolutely is going to be disruption. There's disruption coming whether we take to the streets or not. You could just look at the rain that happened this morning. It's huge disruption across the roads.
But I'm talking about specifics. Yeah,
there will... Holy Jesus, did you hear that? You did.
There will be disruption.
On
in terms of blue lights, ambulances with blue lights can guarantee people will get out of the way for ambulances with blue lights.
Ah, you see, it begins to dawn on this scruffy, unwashed swamp thing that, yeah, maybe it wasn't so good 2 minutes ago when I said if people really need to get there, we can have discussions about letting them through. Now she's saying ambulances with blue lights can pass.
And also discussions with the police. They know what we're doing. And so alternative routes can be put in place.
It's against the fucking law to block up fucking major highways in England. Why isn't Sophie Ridge saying that to her? Why aren't the police arresting these people? Why aren't they using the water cannons that Bojo bought from the Germans when he was the mayor of London? Although they might have since sold them on to somewhere else to hose these dirty bastards off the bridge. You don't get to decide that we're going to block major roads and networks and just tell you we're doing it for your own good. And Ridge is just sitting there, this bimbo Sophie Ridge, sitting there not saying this to them. Your job as a presenter to fucking annihilate these goons. What are you talking about? We'll have discussions about whether we let you through or not. Come on, Ridge.
But if an ambulance with blue lights turns up at any roadblock with Extinction Rebellion activists there, we will get out of their way.
She's just admitted a conspiracy to break the law. She should be arrested as soon as she leaves the studio, right? Right. Oh, Ridge wants to dig down on this whole rite of passage, you know, for people who might need to get to the hospital.
We have had cases, haven't we? I remember back in July, someone saying that he, you know, missed being at his father's bedside when he died in Bristol.
Yeah, and that's really, really unfortunate, and it's totally heartbreaking. And when you think about it, makes you feel absolutely dreadful. So there is no way that we want to be doing this. We've been forced into this position by the lack of action from governments for,
for fuck's sake.
Governments for the last 30 years. And what is coming? Change is coming to us, whether we like it or not.
Yeah, Savannah Lovelock, eh? Savannah Lovelock.
The pain and anguish that that man suffered being unable to say goodbye to his father is the pain and anguish we are suffering right now as we look at the future of our children.
So we didn't leave a guy through whose father was receiving the last rites because we didn't want to leave him through because the planet is in danger. And his pain and anguish, well, it's nothing compared to the pain we're feeling as we watch on in horror as the planet is dying. And again, Ridge sits there, the presenter, incapable of eviscerating these two goons. Just sits there.
Because it's very, very grave.
But we're looking. I know I'm not trying to say that it's not deeply concerning the environment, but his very specific pain about not seeing his father, he might not really think that was comparable.
Yeah, Ridge should be not asking questions in that tone of voice and shouldn't be asking that specific question about the pain being comparable. Ridge should be asking them in a very loud and aggressive manner, who gives you the right or what gives you the right to prevent a man getting to the bedside of his old dad as he's shuffling off this mortal coil, as it were? Who are you to do that? Who gives you the right to infringe upon that man's human rights to go and see his old man? Ridge just, I understand it's, you know, I'm not saying it's not, you know, serious. Well, it isn't serious. There is no serious threat to the existence of the planet. But don't let that get in the way.
I totally understand that. But what we are having to do is shift the conversation from us as individuals, as we live our individual lives, to looking at that mass death, mass famine and starvation, like the loss of future for all of our children.
Jesus
and our
Christ.
Governments are not addressing it. So we have tried, we've marched, we've been members of the Green Party, we've passed motions in council, and there has been no action. And it's only when we've taken to the streets and caused this disruption that you ask us onto this programme.
Yeah. Extinction Rebellion. Gets worse, this, by the way. Gets worse. I don't want to be doing it. I don't want to be doing it, but I need to act. Apocalyptic visions. These are two completely unqualified middle-class women sitting on national television. They haven't got a brain cell between them, let alone a degree in climatology, geology, physics. Telling you, we say the world is going to end, therefore we can break the law with immunity. And you've just got to put up with it. And you've got to ask us for permission if you want to go through a blockade to get to a hospital. And Ridge just sits there. Listen to this.
I do not want to be doing this. I do not want to be upsetting people's lives. But life on Earth is dying. Our children's future is disappearing in front of our faces, in front of our, you know, our very eyes. So unless we disrupt, nothing happens.
And this disruption is caused by the people about not taking action. So if you want to ask these type of questions, you need to ask them.
What would be a victory then? What would be something that you could say is a victory, you're going to call off a disruption, that's enough?
A victory.
They find that funny. Ridge says, what would be a victory for you? And they find it funny, they start laughing. Because they haven't a clue, you see. They are clueless. It's not because they are women. No misogyny here. They are utterly clueless. They're asked a very valid question by Ridge. What would make you stop? Right? I find it funny. It's hilarious.
A victory would be the leader of the government, the opposition parties coming together and accepting to go through Parliament a bill based on our three demands, that they will tell the truth about the emergency we are facing, life on Earth is dying, that they will aim for the most extreme carbon reduction target possible, zero carbon by 2025, and then to enable it to happen, to give legitimacy to those asked.
Zero carbon by 2025. They want the UK, every man and woman and child in the UK, to go zero carbon, not net zero, meaning that you don't create any CO2 whatsoever by 2025. Right?
We have a citizens' assembly. We upgrade our democracy. We've seen it failing with Brexit. We upgrade our democracy so that those plans can pass and we have a citizens' assembly to do it. Because if we don't do that, we don't have a future. It's that simple.
No, it isn't that simple. It's bullshit. It's patently bullshit. It is provably bullshit, and it can be decimated in about 30 seconds with a couple of very simple facts about the current state of the makeup of our atmosphere, the amount of CO2 in it, and how little of that CO2 is actually produced by man. It's nonsense. And CO2, removing CO2 production, making it zero by 2025, is going to result in the deaths of millions and millions and millions of people, not just here, but around the world. Tragic, this, isn't it? What's happened to the media? Absent? No longer on watch? Ridge sitting there looking pretty in a nice suit? Manicured nails, long blonde hair down to her shoulders, incapable of challenging any of this at all, this garbage. What do you mean, zero carbon by 2025, you sweaty, scruffy, unwashed? You know, what are you talking about? Do you even know how you'd get there?
It's so grave. Billions of people are going to die. I can't believe I'm saying this.
Yeah, I can't believe you're saying it. Billions of people are going to die. Billions.
It's so grave. Billions of people are going to die. I can't believe I'm saying this. You know, look, I look around me at all this electricity. I came in an electric car. I went through London. And yet we are facing a catastrophe and we need to act.
Apocalyptic visions. It's the Greta script, isn't it? Billions are going to die. You are going to die. What else?
We're going to need some pretty radical policies, aren't we?
Here we go now. So Ridge says you're going to need some radical policies to get where you want to go.
We're going to get there. And it's going to be personal sacrifices as well, isn't it? I mean, is it acceptable? I was trying to talk a little bit to Sean Berry about some of these things. You know, do we need to think about whether we're eating meat? Do we need to think about a complete ban on cars? Do we need to think about fast fashion? What are the radical things that you think we need to change now?
Well, I think it's an understanding of, like, what we personally take. In terms of the meat ban and stuff like that, we need to eat locally. If we can't eat meat, then we have to eat locally. We have to eat within our means. And it's understanding that we are continuously taking more resources than we can. So there needs to be more of an education about what we need to take. And then this is what a kind of thing like a citizen assembly can look at in terms of what legislation needs to be put down, because it's so obvious that our government can absolutely not do this. They've had 30 years to do this, and there's still nothing. So this is why we need a citizens' assembly to come up with these legislations and this sort of stuff.
I mean, is there anything that you have wrestled with personally? I mean, I know that we could all do more in our lives, couldn't we? But, you know, have you got like, you know, a primer addiction, or like, is it hard to kind of give up that flight to, you know, America or to Europe? What are the difficult things?
It is very hard to step out of the society that you're living within. It's very hard to separate yourself from your friends and your family who may well be catching flights, who are, you know, eating roast dinners mm-hmm. every Sunday. You know, if you separate yourself, you then become different and extreme. And why would people listen to you when, you know, you're some kind of new age Puritan? And so That's a huge struggle. When you educate yourself about the climate, you do tend to separate yourself from your friends and your family.
So do you stop, for example?
I don't.
Absolutely
fly.
Not.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. Like, you know, but it's not based on what you have to do as an individual. Mm-hmm. We are going to have to change, but we need to change our system. Mm-hmm. We can't do it through individual choice. And you asked what kind of extreme action is needed.
You caught that, didn't you? You caught that little nugget there. You caught that. I'm sure you caught that.
Going to have to change, but we need to change our system. Mm-hmm. We can't do it through individual choice.
Can't do it through individual choice. It's this is the essence of it. We can't leave it up to people. We cannot leave it in people's hands and trust that they will do the right thing once we tell them that billions are going to die. Individual choice out the window. We've got to say, no flights, no red meat, smart fridges to watch what it is you are doing. Other smart devices to measure your carbon footprint or your carbon creation. All of this. And we can't leave it to individual choice. We've got to basically say, this is how it's going to be through citizens' assemblies. This is how it's going to be. Nobody can opt out, effectively. These people are lunatics. And I do sometimes, I'm going to say it now, I might get into trouble for saying it. I do sometimes think, and I don't advocate this, It's going to come to violence eventually. Either that or this agenda will succeed unchallenged. I think eventually, and I'm not advocating it. I'm not advocating it. I don't agree with it. I certainly won't be taking part in any violence, and I'm not advocating that anybody else does. But I can see it coming to violence in the end. How else do you deal with it? You have a police force that is completely incapable, reluctant, or flat out refusing to deal with domestic terrorism. Not only with people saying we're going to block up roads, we're going to prevent you going here, we're going to put drones around airports possibly causing serious loss of life. We're going to do whatever the fuck we want because we're telling you that the planet is going to explode in 20 years' time. And you're going to comply with it. And we have a police force that will not deal with this. A token arrest over the weekend of 12 or 10 people. Won't do anything about it. These people will block up central London during the week. Cause an unbelievable misery to people. To commuters, to businesses, to people in hospital. And what should happen is they should be hosed off that bridge. And I don't like violence. Don't want to be, you know, turning water on people. I don't want to. And I'm not just saying that. This isn't, you know, mealy-mouthedness by me. I really mean it. Don't want violence. Don't want any part of it. But hose the fuckers off the bridge. Hose them off the bridge. And tell them, enough is enough now. Take your apocalyptic visions to some fucking cave in Nevada. Dig a fucking trench 200 feet under the ground and go and fucking live there. With your spam and your fucking corned beef. Although they wouldn't have spam and corned beef because they're all fucking vegans, presumably. Lunatics.
And you asked what kind of extreme action is needed. We do have a historical precedence on this. We mobilised for war.
This gets terrifying here now. Listen to what she says here. Very important before we run out of time.
We do have a historical precedence on this. We mobilised for war in 1939. We made huge changes across our society. But we did it and we brought people together.
And is that what you think we need then?
Absolutely. 100%.
It's as serious as that.
Yeah. It's as serious as that, that we need to put the country on a war footing. We need to ration. We need to tell people you can't have this, you can't have that. You can have so much red meat every week or every month, and anything other than that, well, that's criminal. She's saying the country needs to be put on a war footing. And useless gombeen Sophie Ridge just sits there and says, you think it's as serious as that then, do you? And who are you again? Sarah Lunnan and Savannah fucking Lovelock? You should be burning your fucking husband's dinners. Right? After you shaved your fucking legs.
Well, yeah, it is as serious as that. You know, I'm just turned 20. I've had to defer from university.
Yeah, you did hear that. You did hear that. You did hear that as well. You did hear that.
Absolutely. 100%.
It's as serious as that. Yeah.
It is as serious as that. You know, I'm just turned 20. I've had to defer from university. I work with young people because I'm from XR Youth. And, you know, I'm in rooms with these 14-year-olds, you know, who are in tears because of this. They are in a world, right? They're in a...
Where they are being terrorised by fucking idiots like you, love. You are telling them, and you have no right to do so because you're not a scientist, you're not an academic, you have no experience of the subject, you know nothing about it, and yet you're telling young children that they are going to die without a shred of substantive evidence to back it up. Of course they're crying and they're screaming and they're terrified. Why wouldn't they be?
City, and they're constantly surrounded by the fact of those people who will not even... understand the role they are playing in the fact that these kids' futures are being ripped away, and they're constantly surrounded by the fact they are in a world, right?
Listen to this. Children now, listen to what she describes here. Children are surrounded by people who don't want to listen to them. Listen to the phraseology.
City, and they're constantly surrounded by the fact of those people who will not even understand the role they are playing in the fact that these kids' futures are being...
People who won't understand. Children are surrounded by people who won't understand the role they are playing in destroying the planet. Won't understand. Won't do what they are told by us. Won't accept verbatim what we tell them is going on. Terrifying for children to live in a world like that where they don't get their fucking way every 2 minutes. Wow. Can't believe it. I have to walk amongst these people who won't understand that the world is going to explode. It's going to end. Tidal waves. We're all dead in 25 years. how terrible it is for children to have to live in a world like that.
Futures are being ripped away. You know, they are being told that they're going to die, and people...
By you?
People are saying, no, no, it's fine. You know, do your recycling. You know, it'll be fine. It's just absolute...
That's it for the show, by the way. Thanks for listening to it. Sunday View was brought to you by me, Richie Allen. Look after yourselves. See you tomorrow. Leaving you with the Eagles. Great stuff. Bye.